All right, open your Bibles to Romans 16. Just like Brother Isaac said this morning, I am not Caleb Wood, and I used this joke at this church so long ago that you guys have all forgotten it, but expecting Caleb to preach and getting me is like when you go to a restaurant and you try to order your Dr. Pepper, and they say, well, we have Pibb. Like, it'll work. It's not quite the same, not as good. That's my only complaint about Toro, is I like Mountain Dew. And I always forget, and they say, well, we have Mellow Yellow. That's a poor excuse for Mountain Dew. But no, I'm excited. You know, the reality is we make plans, and how many times in life do things not go according to plan? I mean, it's almost silly to make plans. And I just think about, in the book of Romans tonight, we're going to be looking at the Apostle Paul. And if you read through all the accounts of Paul and his missionary journeys, what you'll find is that it's really just a record of things not going according to Paul's plans. Did Paul plan on... Now, he might have expected to be arrested and go to prison, but I don't think he made plans to do it. I'm sure that he expected persecution and affliction and all these things. He knew that they would happen, but he wasn't marking it on the calendar to try to make sure it got done. He wasn't planning to get shipwrecked. He wasn't planning for all these things to be snake bitten. He wasn't planning for all these things, but they happened. And what I think is incredible about this, think about when he was in jail and they were singing praises. That didn't go according to plan, and yet look how God used that in a way to change someone's eternity forever. Amen. It might not have been Paul's plan to be thrown into jail, but do you think the jailer was glad it happened? Absolutely. And so I just think about this missions conference and how I was on vacation, and Isaac, he texted me and said, hey, give me a call when you get a chance. And so I called him, and he said, Caleb's not going to be able to make it. And I said, well, Caleb's our speaker. And he said, Caleb was our speaker. It doesn't always go according to the way we plan it, just like it didn't for those men in the Bible. But here's the reality. I believe that God can work through the preaching. God can work through this time together where at the end of the week, man, we say, look how God worked this week. Even though things didn't go like we had put them on the calendar, things didn't go exactly like we thought they would, how can God work in your life this week? And tonight in Romans chapter 16, I'm going to ask you, if you would, if you're able to stand with me. In Romans chapter 16, we're going to read the first two verses and have a word of prayer. Romans chapter 16, ending this letter that Paul was writing in this final chapter, he says this in verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Centuria, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succor of many, and of myself also. Let's have a word of prayer together tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, I pray that you would this week work in our hearts, that first and foremost, everything we say and do here at these meetings would be honoring and glorifying to you, and that Christ and your word would be exalted in our hearts and our minds, our speech. Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to be encouraged, to know that we can be a part of your work, and Lord, that it is a blessing to have the opportunity to serve you. Lord, I pray for these men who have traveled to be with us this week, that you would just use us to encourage them and to strengthen them, and we thank you for their faithfulness to you. Most of all, we thank you for Christ, for the grace that you have given us, and Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in the resurrection. Lord, I pray you'd forgive us of our sins. Help us tonight. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we think about this missions conference, I know there's no rankings of missionaries, but if there were, Paul would be near the top of the list, right? Paul was a man who was very accomplished for the Lord. He had traveled, if you do the math, and I'll be honest, I didn't put the pen to the paper and do the math. I'm trusting the person who did. So someone here is probably going to fact check me and tell me I'm wrong. There's always someone in church that blesses you by fact checking you. But they say that through his missionary journeys, Paul logged over 10,000 miles. And that's a big deal when they don't have cars or planes or trains. 10,000 miles, How many miles was it to South Padre Island? That was... in a car, that was a lot. But, you know, Paul, he went on all these trips, all these journeys, and walking and in boats, and he led thousands to the Lord. He planted churches that led more people to Christ. He started churches. He strengthened churches. And he did all this, like I mentioned a second ago, he did all this in the midst of difficulty and persecution. It wasn't easy. Paul didn't leave a difficult life to start a luxurious and easy life. Paul left a good job, a good paying job, presumably a good living, in order to go be faithful to the Lord and suffer persecution the rest of his life. Paul was a great missionary. There have been many men, though, throughout history who are great examples of faithfulness to the Lord. Have you guys ever heard of William Carey? William Carey, I'm just going to share a couple facts about him. At a meeting of Baptist leaders in the late 1700s, there was a newly ordained minister who stood to argue for the value of overseas missions. But he was abruptly interrupted by an older minister who said, "Young man, sit down. You are an enthusiast." What a thing to be accused of. No one's accusing us of being enthusiasts. "You are an enthusiast. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he'll do it without consulting you or me." Not long after that, William Carey wrote this: "Multitudes sit at ease and give themselves no concern about the far greater part of their fellow sinners who to this day are lost in ignorance and idolatry." He's most famous for his quote from a sermon in which he stated, "Expect big things from God, attempt great things for God." He left England, went to India, where he was a missionary for 41 years, never returning to his homeland once. During his time in India, he translated the Bible into over 35 languages and dialects. He founded the first Christian college in Asia, which is still open today. Hudson Taylor is another man that maybe you've heard of. When he first arrived in China from England in 1853, there were only a few dozen missionaries in all of China. He went into the heart of the country distributing Chinese Bibles and tracts. Unfortunately, in 1861, he grew ill and had to return to England to recover. But when he got back to England, he was troubled when he saw that people in his homeland seemed to have little interest in the people in China. And he wrote this, and let these words sink in: "Can all the Christians in England sit still with folded arms while these multitudes in China are perishing for lack of knowledge which England possesses so richly?" He spent a total of 51 years in China, is responsible for bringing over 800 other missionaries into the country. And if even still today they say that China is the church is growing in China, it's one of the fastest growing places in the world. Church work is. And there are so many more missionaries that we could talk about. Paul, William Carey, Hudson Taylor, and so many more, but I want you guys to think about this tonight. And here's the thought I want you to really think about. Those are names that many of you have heard of. But what we're going to see in Romans chapter 16 tonight is that while these men have names in history that are prominent and that we think of and we know about, these men weren't able to do what they did for the Lord by themselves. Amen. That the Apostle Paul, as we'll see, he goes through a list of names that I'm going to butcher for you in just a second, of people who helped him, people who prayed for him, people who encouraged him. And what I want you to really think about tonight is how you can be a part of the Lord's work in helping someone else. And the easy thing to do is say, well, I'm a part of a church that helps people. And that's great. Our church should help missionaries. Our church should encourage people. But as we go through this list, and don't get me wrong, Paul got help from churches, but Paul lists individuals here. These are individual people who made an impact and a difference in Paul's ministry and Paul's life. So the question isn't necessarily what else can Calvary do? The question is, what can I do? How can I be involved? How can I be a part of the Lord's work?
and encouraging and helping someone else. No missionary has ever done it alone. And so as we go through this list here, I want you to look once again in Romans chapter 16 and verse 1. Paul writes this at the end of his letter. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. So just a few interesting things about Phoebe as we look at this person, at this individual. Her name is a form of the Greek word Diana, who is the sister of the mythological god Apollo. You might say, well, what does that matter? Well, most likely, she was named after this Greek goddess, and it's fair to assume that she probably wasn't raised in a Christian home. Like, if you meet someone named Jezebel, you probably assume that their parents weren't naming her for good reasons. Maybe they changed her name to Jezebel, I don't know. But you look at her name Phoebe, and you just assume that she didn't have a godly upbringing based on her name that was, she was named after a false goddess. And yet, look at the titles that Paul ascribes to her. Phoebe, our sister. Our sister. And this speaks to the relationship that existed between Paul and Phoebe. That Paul considered her to be a sister. And I know this is like Sunday school 101 for most of us here, but you realize that if you're a believer and I'm a believer, we're siblings. That's why it's not just a title like Brother Ben, Brother Isaac. It's not just a thing that we say. It identifies who we are to each other. It's my brother Tom. Actually, he's Uncle Tom to all of us, but everyone except for Tom. He's our uncle in the Lord. You guys are my brothers. You're my sisters. And that is a deeper bond than we can even understand. It's an eternal bond. If you are in Christ and I am in Christ, we have a relationship that will never end. And Paul calls Phoebe his sister. He also calls her a servant. Our sister, which is a servant of the church. She was a faithful member of the church at Centuria, and she served in that church. And maybe there's no greater thing that can be said about her than that she was a servant. Isn't that what Jesus said? You want to be great, be a servant. He who is greatest is the one who is the greatest servant. And so Phoebe here, she's down through the ages. Ever since Paul penned this letter, she's been remembered as a sister and as a servant. And then he says this, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. She was referred to as a saint. She was to be received in a way worthy of saints. And I want you to really think about that phrase and what it means. We are to love and minister to everyone in Muldrow, right? We ought to be loving and caring towards everyone in our community. But there is a special relationship and love that should exist between believers. There really is. And in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Love and do good to everybody, but especially your brothers and sisters. We ought to embrace and serve and care for those around us who name the name of Christ. And if all you do is show up and sit in a pew once a week, there's probably more that you can do. She's a sister, a servant, a saint, and then this fun word, she's a succor. That means a helper. She was known as someone who was helpful to many people. She had helped Paul. Just think about the context of this letter. At the end of the letter, he's saying, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Centuria, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. Phoebe is going to the Romans. More than likely, she's in the party that's delivering this letter. She's taking the word of God to the people there. Is there a more helpful thing that someone can do than to deliver the word of God to someone? Just think about the book of Romans. and all that we know about God and salvation because of the book of Romans. I mean, if you've spent 5 minutes in a Baptist church, you've heard the phrase, the Roman road. I mean, who here heard the Roman road as a kid? I mean, that's a valuable thing that we know about God through his word and through this letter that she was a part of carrying and delivering. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and 15, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." And Phoebe was bringing the word of God to the Romans. And so take a step back and think about these two verses and who this person is that we're looking at right now. She's this woman who, let's just be honest, in Roman culture, women weren't exactly seen as equals with men. They say that in this day, in this age, that as a woman, she wouldn't be able to attend, speak at, or vote at political assemblies. She couldn't own land, couldn't hold political office. Not only that, we already saw, based on her name, she was probably named after a false deity. If there was a lineup of people who you would guess and say, well, maybe that's the person God is going to use in a great way, Phoebe's not the one you would guess. It's kind of like when all David, well, not David, but all his brothers were lined up and they're trying to figure out who would be the next king. David wasn't the one you would guess. But God doesn't look like man does. He looks on the heart. And Phoebe was a person who was maybe an unlikely hero in the faith, and yet Paul is entrusting her to deliver the letter that he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you tonight that you might not think that you have much to offer to the Lord. You might not think of yourself as someone who's really able to be used based on whatever excuse you have, but I want to tell you tonight that God, for the history of the world, has used unlikely people to accomplish things for him. And tonight, just like Phoebe helped Paul, you, not us, but you, can be someone who helps a missionary. You can be a part of the Lord's work in encouraging and helping. And I know within the context, we're looking at how these people helped Paul as a missionary, but you know, you can be someone who does all these things and encourages someone in this church. You can be someone who serves. The brothers and sisters here in Muldrow. Think about verse number 3 and verse number 4. He goes on, he says this, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles, who laid down their own necks." You know what that means? It means they sacrificed to help Paul. Aquila and Priscilla, they sacrificed in order to help Paul. It means they literally hazarded their own lives and exposed themselves to dangers to help Paul. They were willing to make the ultimate sacrifice, even to lay down their own lives in order to help Paul. We don't like to be inconvenienced. You need help on Tuesday? That's my day off. They were willing to die to help Paul. But here's what's great in these two verses, and you might have missed this. Listen to this again. "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." When Priscilla and Aquila helped Paul, they weren't just helping Paul. They helped all the people that Paul helped. When you help a missionary, you aren't just helping them. You're helping the people that they're preaching to. You're helping the countries that they're preaching in. You're helping the states and the cities, the communities that they're ministering in. You are helping countless people. It wasn't about helping Paul. It was about doing the Lord's work and advancing his kingdom. And Paul said that not only have they helped me, and not only am I thankful, but all the churches of the Gentiles. Paul was a missionary to who? To the Gentiles. We are here. If you traced our history back far enough, I don't know if there's any Jewish people in the room tonight. We're Gentiles, right? We are a church full of Gentile people, and we ought to be thankful to Phoebe for what she did thousands of years ago. And Aquila and Priscilla. He said, I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Once again, Paul's a name that everybody knows. But Paul here is, he's not taking all the credit. He's giving us names of people who helped him, who Paul couldn't have accomplished what he accomplished without Priscilla and without Aquila, without Phoebe. And think about just a few more names here in this chapter. Now, I thought about, you know, when pastors say, all right, let's read these verses together. I thought about reading some of these together with the names that are really difficult. But it sounded like we're speaking in tongues, so we're not gonna do that. But listen, verse number 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved, ready, here we go, Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Paul's first convert in Achaia. Verse number 6. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Much labor. She was a worker. You know, there's work to be done for the Lord. And many hands make light work. You know, I just love this. We don't know anything else about this Mary in verse number 6. But down through the ages, once again, you know what we know about Mary? She bestowed much labor for the Lord. What a blessing that for all of eternity, her name is recorded as someone who served and worked for Jesus. Just a small sentence, but what an obituary that is. Someone who bestowed much labor on us. I've also thought about, Paul mentions people who bestowed labor, but Mary was much labor. So how much of an extra worker was she? Let's keep going on down the list here. Verse number 7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. Paul didn't suffer alone. There were often those who suffered with him, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Now, I wasn't planning on doing this, but sometimes things don't go according to plan. I'm going to do it anyways. I want to read you a quote about verse number 10. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Spurgeon had something interesting to say about Aristobulus, and I want to include this tonight. But Spurgeon believed that it's possible, based on the language here, that Aristobulus himself wasn't saved, but his household were the ones who had helped him. Otherwise, why wouldn't it be Aristobulus and his house and his family? Now, I don't know. We don't know for sure, but I want to read you this. This is from a sermon that Spurgeon preached long time ago. But assuming that his position was right, that maybe Aristobulus' household had helped Paul, but Aristobulus himself was not a believer, Spurgeon said this, "Where are you, Aristobulus? That is not your name, perhaps, but your character is the same as that of this unregenerate Roman whose family knew the Lord. I might speak in God's name good works and comfortable words to your wife and to your children, but I could not so speak to you, Aristobulus. The Lord sends a message of grace to your dear child, to your beloved wife, but not to you, for you have not given your heart to him." And the reason I wanted to share that, and I just wanted you to think about that tonight, is because I want us to be aware of this reality, that just because your dad or your mom, or just because your brother or sister, or just because someone in your family is faithful to the Lord and is a helper and someone who could be called a servant and a faithful member of this church, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are in Christ. And we come across that all the time, don't we? On Sunday afternoons, we knock on doors and you ask someone if they're saved or if they knew where they'd go if they died, and they say, well, my dad was a preacher. My mom used to teach Sunday school. My grandpa was a deacon. Listen, at the end of the day, it matters what you have done with Christ. And if you're here tonight, we can, and we're going to keep talking about how you can faithfully serve the Lord, but if you are not in Christ, you can't please Christ. There's no amount of service or helpfulness, or there's no amount of encouraging that you can do that God will smile on and say, well, I know they're not my child, but at least they try hard. If you are not in Christ, then you have to repent and believe in Jesus tonight. And then be faithful and then serve. And someday I'll probably get to heaven and Aristobulus will be there and be like, dude, I was saved. I heard that sermon. Actually, I'm pretty sure they're not showing this sermon in heaven. In verse number 11, salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa. Those names are interesting. They mean luxurious, delicate, and dainty. I'm glad that's on my name. Here's what we can assume about them. They probably came from a pretty cushy life. And there's other people in this list that you look at who they are, and they were former slaves. And the point is this, that whether you are rich or whether you're poor, whether you have little or you have a lot, whether you know whatever state you are in life, you can be someone who is faithful to God. Just think about Aquila and Priscilla and how they sacrificed in order to help Paul. You know, you can sacrifice to help other people. The easiest way I think of, and this isn't, you know, it's just not financially, but you know that you can give to missionaries? You can. When I was at Victory, we started Faith Promise Missions, and inevitably I had a few people who said, I would love to give if I had enough. I really would. I'd love to give, man. I just said, you buy coffee at Starbucks. It's like $18 a cup. Like if you could just give up one coffee a month, at the very least, one coffee, sacrifice one cup of coffee. Just go to McDonald's instead for better coffee. And give that money that you have saved to a missionary. You can sacrifice. Like, if you want to give, you can. Think about the woman who in the Gospels, she gave essentially a penny. But she gave everything she had. She sacrificed. It's not about how much you give. It never has been. But if you have a heart that wants to give, you will give, even at a sacrifice. That's why I love in the book of Philippians, at the end of the book, listen, that church was faithful to support Paul, were they not? Even when no one else was sending him support, the Philippians were. And at the end of the book, he says, our God, Christ, he will supply your every need. And it appears that they were giving, not out of abundance, but they were giving so much that they were creating a need in themselves. That's faithful giving. When you say, I'm going to give and I'm going to help, even if it kind of hurts the bottom line for me, I'm going to keep helping these people who are serving the Lord, and I'm going to trust that God's going to provide for me. They were sacrificing. And you just look at these list of people. Listen, we ought to be people who could be named as helpers. Just a few more names here. In verse number 13, salute Rufus. That's a good one, right? Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and I love this, and his mother and mine. Now, was Rufus Paul's physical brother? I don't think so. But you know when you were little, like and you had a friend and you were at their house so much that it was almost just like you were their kid because you ate all their food and you were just there? Is it just me? Do you guys have anyone like that? I did. It's one of those phrases where it's like it's almost like they're my parents. Like it's almost like they're my mom. I think that's the relationship that Paul's talking about here. Salute Rufus and his mother and mine. You know, maybe it was just something as simple as Paul was in town, he had nowhere to stay, and maybe Rufus's mom said, "Oh, Paul, come in here." She made him a nice home-cooked dinner, gave him a big old kiss on the cheek, gave him a hug, maybe knit him a sweater. I don't know exactly what she did, but she loved on him and she encouraged him. And Paul felt the need to end this letter say, "Hey, salute Rufus and his mother and mine." This was someone who did something to encourage Paul that he remembered and it helped him. If you could do nothing else, you can love someone. Listen, I'm telling you, I've never been on a foreign field, but I've been in Western Oklahoma. When I was out there, I love, if you guys know Brother Adam Dias, this was not encouraging. He sent me a text one day, and it was a textbook that he had, and it was talking about Native Americans being sent out there by the government because it was deemed uninhabitable. He said, "That's where you live." I said, "I know. I live here." But listen, I've been away from family. I've been away from friends. Do you know how helpful it is when somebody sends you a text and says, "Hey, how's it going?" When someone just makes a phone call and says, "Hey, I'm just checking in. How can I pray for you?" We've got men in this room who have been more encouraging to me than you know because they made a phone call. And just like Rufus and his mom here, they appear to be people who loved on Paul, but it made a difference in Paul's ministry. They were people who helped Paul. Here's what I want us to understand tonight. That Paul and these other missionaries, they couldn't do what they did alone. But God used normal, ordinary people to help them in ministry. And if not for their service and faithfulness to help advance the Lord's work, would we even have known the name Andronicus and Junia, Amplius, Urbane, Apelles? But because of their faithfulness to Jesus, I believe the Lord honored them in recording them forever in His scriptures. And people who would have otherwise really been nobodies in history, man, they became somebodies because of what they did for Jesus. But why do we do it? And why did they do it? Why were Aquila and Priscilla, why were they willing to lay down their own necks? Why were they willing to sacrifice? Why were their fellow prisoners? Why were there people who gave and served and ultimately people like Paul who was killed for the faith? Why did they do that? Because of their love for Jesus and their love for their neighbors. Which are the two greatest commandments. To love God and to love others. I want to tell you again that you personally, you can be an encouragement to a missionary. Most of you guys are on Facebook. Most missionaries are on Facebook. Send them a message. Let them know you're praying for them. It's Christmas time. They probably have kids who like presents. Send them a gift card. I mean, there's so many different ways that we can encourage and we can help that we really have no excuse. But we can also love on each other the same way. We can encourage one another. We can serve the Lord by serving our neighbors. By serving one another. You know what I love? And I try to be careful when I go through these names because at the end of the day, it's not about Paul. It's not about Priscilla. It's not about Aquila. It's not about Phoebe. It's not about Andronicus. It's not about these people. It's about Jesus. And what we're doing, it's not about us. Calvary, this church here in Muldrow, this church doesn't exist for us. This church exists for God's glory, and it exists for the people who don't know God. And God it's His will to use us so that people in Muldrow can know Him. And people elsewhere can know Him. And we live in such a self-centered world, and it's so easy for that to creep into us, where we get these self-centered attitudes, and church is about me, it's about my preferences and what I want. And listen, nothing about the Lord's work is about us. It is about Jesus. And these people, I believe they got that. Paul understood that. If there was ever a guy who could toot his own horn, it would be Paul. That's what he said himself. He said, listen, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. Listen, I was the guy. But even Paul wouldn't brag on himself. And Paul knew it wasn't about him. Tonight, it's not about you. It's about Jesus and how we can be used by Him to advance His kingdom. What can I do personally? And that's a question that I want you to each ask. And I'm asking you guys to stand with me. And as you stand with me, our musicians can come forward. We'll have a verse of invitation. First and foremost, I just want to say this again, that if you have not repented and if you have not trusted Christ and the gospel, then all of this other stuff is kind of irrelevant to you. You can't be used by God until you belong to God. But tonight, and here's my hope and my prayer, just like all these things didn't go according to plan for Paul and these other men, this week already hasn't gone exactly according to plan, but how do we know that God didn't work things out just so that you could hear a particular message by a particular person, whether it be Isaac or me or Brother Doug or Brother James or Brother Danny, whoever it might be? It's not about us, but maybe God has worked things around just for you to hear this message. And you can be saved tonight. Then we look back and we say, oh, that's why things worked out the way they did. But if you are already a believer, here's the question. I want you each ask yourself, what can I do to serve the Lord? What can I do to help others? What can I do to help advance the gospel? The truth is, most of us already know things we can do. The difficulty isn't knowing what to do. The difficulty often comes in actually doing it. That's why I told someone, if you guys saw my sandcastle I tried to build, you might not believe this, but I watched videos on how to build sandcastles. And I'm confident that no one in this room here tonight knows better how to build a sandcastle than me. But there's a lot of people who could probably build a better one than me. The problem isn't knowing how, the problem is actually doing it. And most of you guys have been in church for a minute, and you know that there are ways that you can serve the Lord. There's ways that you can help. There's ways that you can be used by God. You know already specific things that you could be and should be doing. The problem is maybe we just aren't doing them like we ought to. And so what we do tonight is, first of all, we repent and we ask God to forgive us. Because if there's good things that we could have been doing that we haven't been, that is wrong and it's sin. And then we pray that God would help us to be used as effectively as we can be, that we would be spent by God for His work and for His glory. Let's have a word of prayer tonight, and we'll have a verse of invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word. Lord, I pray that You would work tonight and this week. Lord, I pray that we would each tonight, we would just be introspective, that we would be honest before You, that You would reveal in our hearts our condition before You, that if there's one here tonight who is unsaved and unregenerate, I pray that Your conviction would weigh so heavily on their hearts that they would cry out to You tonight and be saved. And Lord, for every believer in this room, I pray that You would help us. And Lord, convict us of our apathy, Lord, give us a great desire to see people saved in Muldrow. Give us a desire to advance your kingdom in other places, and just give us the desire to be used by you however you see fit. Lord, I thank you so much for the grace that you show me, for the forgiveness of my sins. Lord, I just pray tonight that your will would be done in the heart of every person in this room. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.